WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. There's a brick building in Bridgeport full of lore. First it was a funeral home, then a record label, and now it's a museum of music history. You wouldn't really know it from the outside. It's pretty nondescript. But as soon as you walk in, it's easy to get overwhelmed. Posters and t-shirts and cassettes cover the walls, overlapping and cascading down to the floor. Vibrant neon signs pulse as music videos play on a loop. In the center of the room is a drum kit, and it's not just for display, it's meant to be played. This is the Museum of Post-Punk and Industrial Music, and it's the next stop in our series of museums off the beaten path. Reset's audio engineer Ethan Schwab and production fellow Max Lubers went out to the museum this week, so I sat down with them to discuss what they found. And I started by asking Ethan to give us a rundown on what exactly the post-punk and industrial genres are. Here's Ethan.
So it's kind of what we're listening to right now.
Yeah.
This is I'm Falling by Ministry. They're an industrial band. This is like one of their first singles. Post-punk is really broad. Basically, think of it like artsy punk rock. It's got some more complexity to it.
Mm-hmm.
And industrial is even edgier and heavier. And it usually has a lot of electronic elements. And all of them kind of share different elements from other genres like jazz or dance music or funk, like different rhythms and instrumentation.
It's a whole mix of things.
Yeah, sounds that sort like. Of stuff.
So why do we have a museum for it here in Chicago, Max?
Yeah, so Chicago's kind of considered one of the capitals of this scene. There was a lot of experimentation going on here. It's also home to what became a premier label for this music. It's called Wax Trax. And actually, just to like kind of give you a sense, my aunt is a really big fan of this music.
Okay.
And when I was starting to get into it back when I was in middle school and she was introducing me to more stuff, she was like, you got to know about Wax Trax. Like, she name dropped that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like Chicago was so important to the scene that the founder of this museum that we're talking about actually decided to move here specifically for this music. So industrial's huge here.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a big deal if he decided to move here. What else can you tell us about this founder, Ethan?
Yeah, sure. His name is Martin Atkins. He's a drummer. He's got white hair now that sticks up all crazy. He's got a white goatee. And when we met him, he was wearing all black. And I'm pretty sure he's dressed like that every day. He's got like major punk vibes. He was, as I said, a drummer in Public Image Limited. He drummed for Ministry during some of their tours. He started Pigface, which is a big like collective of punk musicians. And basically, it feels like he's keeping the history of this music like alive just through all of the stuff he's collected over the years playing and touring and that sort of stuff. To an outside observer, like it's like all of it is on his shoulders, but really there's a collective of super fans that are keeping this museum alive with money and donated items and stuff like that. Here's a bit from the founder, Martin.
I don't wake up every day going, yes, museum. It's a lot of work. It's half an hour just to turn everything on, you know. But every single day I know for a fact that I can't stop doing it, because people just keep sending the most amazing stuff.
So did you get to meet any of these super fans that Ethan just mentioned, Max?
Yeah, we sure did. So we met this couple, Bill and Susan Chambers. They're actually from Texas, but they were up in Michigan for a different trip. And they decided to drive 7 hours for this place.
What?
Specifically. Like, went out of their way. So let's hear a little bit from Bill.
As soon as he started Pig Face, of course, you know, I bought the cassette of Welcome to Mexico. And ever since then, I've got every album that they've ever released. I actually got to take my daughter to go see them for the first time in 2019.
Okay.
In Austin, and it was a great show, man. It
I remember that show.
Oh, my goodness. Super fans, for real.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
And this whole experience, I mean, it sounds pretty hospitable, like, I mean, which isn't a way that you would describe a museum. It's how you would describe someone's home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it does kind of feel like Martin lives there. He doesn't, but it does kind of feel like that.
Yeah, let's clear that up.
He doesn't.
He does not live there.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. But at times he's let people stay there. And something we should mention, Martin kind of tailors the experience to the attendees. So if you're a super big fan of, say, Nine Inch Nails, he'll show you all the mementos that he has from the band's history. But there's also just a ton of other cool stuff that's ended up there through donations. There's this dress lined with pennies in like these weird, crazy suits. Like we saw one that was bright red and shiny that are like these costumes that these punks wore on stage.
I was going to say, did he tell you who wore these outfits?
He did.
Outfits?
I wish I could remember off the top of my head.
I need to know who wore the dress
You're
lined with
pennies.
You're
putting me on the spot.
Max? Yeah.
No.
This was, hold on.
I still don't remember the name.
I think it was Margot from the Go-Go's.
Ah.
But it was actually funny. He was like talking about, he doesn't nickel and dime people, right? He says in a world that people nickel and dime everything. He doesn't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. He thinks it's like the punkest thing actually to not be that guy, to be hospitable. So I cracked a joke that's how he ends up with a dress with pennies.
With pennies. Nickels, dimes, pennies. I got you. Well, Max, while you're talking, help us visualize some more. How else was this place set up?
Yeah, I would say it's really unconventional, right? Like this used to be a funeral home. He brought us and he showed us where the caskets actually used to be. Now it's the kitchen. Yeah, it. I cannot.
That's a nice natural transition.
Hey, you know, and I cannot emphasize enough like how maximalist this feels. Like, you go in, everything is covered.
Yeah, wall to wall.
Wall to wall.
Yeah,
like, really.
Things coming down. Things on the ceiling. Things are turning around. There's flashing lights.
Does it feel cluttered?
No, I mean, it feels intentional. It feels like he's making connections.
Okay.
And it all feels intentional, but it all feels quite punk.
Yeah.
You know,
organized chaos is how I would describe it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And it's interesting. You know, I mentioned that this used to be a funeral home, and he actually had a couple come in recently. And one of them was pretty experienced in kind of occult stuff. Mm. So he's actually inviting them back to do a seance. And he said he's not meaning to be flippant about this, right? There's a lot of people in the scene who have since passed on. And so, like, they're interested to see if maybe they could contact some people through that. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was just interesting. Like, it's not just what you can see. It's really what you can do at this museum.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued by this. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, sure. Well, this is the first floor that we're talking about of this museum. And I've never been to a museum with a full recording studio in the basement.
What?
Yeah. Here's Martin again.
You're welcome to go and mix Trent's singing sock and leave with a cassette, which is a post-punk industrial attitude towards intellectual property. But sometimes people just go in there and sing along with Trent's vocal. So we try and give people an experience that's closer than just looking at things through glass.
Did he say we could leave with a cassette?
Yeah.
Because that's where he had me.
Yeah, he's referencing oh Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails there. You can go down and mix one of these recordings.
So cool. Well, Max, tell us more about that post-punk industrial attitude that he mentions.
Yeah, so Martin really told us this great story about this early Nine Inch Nails demo, which he had sold a while back. And this thing, like, is worth, like, thousands of dollars, right? And when he started up this museum, the guy who he sold it to actually reached out and said, you know what, I think this demo belongs with you, it belongs with this museum, I'm just going to send it to you. So there was like this moment, you know, where there could have been like a lot of haggling, a lot of negotiating.
Yeah.
But there's really this like collective type attitude that I think shines through that. And that's like one of a ton of stories that he told us that kind of had that attitude.
Yeah. And eventually we made our way down to the basement into this recording studio. And we actually got to listen to that demo.
Oh, good.
This is an early version of Sin, a Nine Inch Nails song that they later released in 1989.
And so we're listening to this Nine Inch Nails demo. And I see this kid in the corner of the studio drumming along to the beat. His name's Elon Whitaker. He's the son of Martin's audio engineer, Tom. And so I asked Elon, hey, like, can you drum?
I was playing on a rolling kit and since I was like 4.
How old are you now?
Oh, good.
How old are you now?
Oh, 10.
But you're good too.
Yeah, I'm good too.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So a kid was just there drumming away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. I mean, what do you think of this history being passed down generations, Ethan?
Yeah, yeah. It really feels like these fans want to keep it alive.
Yeah.
And they want to see it thrive again. You know, Martin was talking about that a bunch. And also, we heard that clip of Bill. He mentions the Pigface show that he takes his daughter to. It feels like Martin's hope is that this museum is kind of keeping this music alive for future generations to come.
Yeah.
Yeah, Elon actually kind of told me that he remembers being really inspired by Martin from the start. You know, like he's met him before. And Martin teaches, he gives talks, but he told us that there's something really special about getting to do that type of like inspiration in the museum.
When I stand here and I show people my C minus F minus D plus report card from school, say I've got my master's degree now, I've had a label since 88, and I launched this museum. Standing in this museum to tell people you can do anything has a very different authentic resonance than somebody with some slides going, you got this, kids, whoa.
Yeah, we saw this in real time as well.
So cool.
Like Martin, like we said, he's got this drum kit in the middle of the museum. Martin let Elon hop on.
The 10-year-old.
Like, yeah, behind this kit. This kit that was used on songs for Killing Joke and even in Nine Inch Nails songs. Let's go out on a bit of his enthusiastic drumming.
Amazing. We've been talking with Reset audio engineer Ethan Schwab and production fellow Max Lubers about their stop to the Museum of Post-Punk and Industrial Music. Now, you can set up an appointment to visit or contact Martin yourself to donate an artifact by going to ppimchicago.com. This episode of the Reset podcast was produced by Ethan Schwab and Max Lubers. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Max. Every week, our producers check out a new museum off the beaten path. So if you're a bit of a history buff or you just love learning about Chicago's hidden gems, subscribe to the pod. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again this afternoon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.